in cross-cultural work for the bulk of that time. We do have three adult grown children that we love. No grandchildren yet. We have three children, adult children, no grandchildren. But my daughter just sent my wife a picture this morning of the grand dogs on the bed with her waking up slowly. So we love our grand dogs until God gives us grandkids. I don't know about you, but when I'm faced with a decision, particularly maybe a big decision, maybe it's a job opportunity, it's a chance to move, it's a chance to do something, one of the first things I do is I pull out a sheet of paper, and I put some lines on it, and across the top I write pros and cons. And I try and figure out if this is a decision I should make or not. So let's think about the idea of maybe I get a job offer and I'm going to evaluate whether I should take this new job or not. And maybe I make my list of pros and it's going to give me better pay and maybe greater responsibility. Maybe I've got opportunities for advancement and those are all great things. And then I start looking at the cons and maybe I got to move away from family. At least initially I'm going to have to work super long hours. Maybe it might involve extensive travel. And I start weighing out these things. Do the pros outweigh the cons? And if the pros outweigh the cons, we circle that pros and we make that decision. We say, I'm going to take that job. But if we decide that the cons outweigh the pros, like it's just too much. I don't want to work that many hours. I don't want to be away from my family or whatever the case may be. Then I'll say, no, I'm not going to take that opportunity. But we make this list and we analyze this list and it's all about what I think is most beneficial. And as I was thinking about today and this passage out of Hebrews 11, which is a list, we're not going to get to talk about every person listed in Hebrews 11. You can move on with that on your own this week. That'll be great for you to look into their stories. But we're going to look at just those first 10 verses of Hebrews 11 this morning. And as we do that, I want you to think in your head, matter of fact, we'll address it later, but I want you to think in your head, what would a pros and cons list look like for some of these people of faith? And how they processed their decisions. So let's just jump right in. We're going to look at we're going to start with Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, where the author unpacks this verse in our essence of faith. He says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." And in the original Greek language, because that's what the New Testament was written in. The New Testament was written in Greek. Old Testament wasn't, but the New Testament was written in Greek. And the first word in the Greek sentence is the word is. That's the first word in the Greek language. And it gives us the idea that faith is a continuing and ongoing and present reality. The author of Hebrews isn't telling us that faith has to do with all these people in the past. He's not looking backwards when he's talking about this concept of faith. He's not even talking about faith in relation to our salvation, which again would be looking backwards. He's looking at faith as a forward-looking perspective. Faith is something we're looking forward to. It guides our future. It guides our decisions. It helps us as we move forward in our lives. So he says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. And this idea of the assurance of things hoped for, assurance or substance in the Greek, the word in the Greek is hypostasis, and it literally means that which stands under. So faith is forward-looking, but it also is underneath everything. Our faith undergirds everything else in our life. It's that foundation. It's that support. Now, this is our first time to Hong Kong, and we just got in the other night. Yesterday, Nathan and Sarah took us down to the city to see quintessential Hong Kong, high-rise skyscrapers, all that. Where we're from, we live in Eastern Washington. Most people think of Washington, then they think of Seattle and Starbucks and mountains and trees and rain. And we live on the other side of the state where it's actually very dry. We actually live in the desert. But the cities we come from, we have a population of about 320,000 people. Little different than Hong Kong, 7.5 million, right? The tallest building where we live is the hospital. It's 10 stories high, 43 meters high. That's the tallest building where we live. And I found myself several times yesterday just standing looking up at all the tall buildings. I discovered that Hong Kong has 550 buildings that are over 150 meters tall. Blows my mind. I saw somewhere that it's like Hong Kong has like 7,000 or 8,000 high rises. It's just crazy to me. It's so different from where I come from. But as I was looking up at all these buildings, and many of them, you know, maybe were businesses on the bottom, but they're apartments, they're homes. And I was looking at them, and I'm looking at all the air conditioners sticking out, and I began thinking about all these different homes that are up there, and the buildings themselves. Every one of those buildings has a foundation that drives deep into the ground. If it doesn't have that foundation, when the earthquakes, as it does in this part of the world, or the tsunamis come, as they do in this part of the world, those tall buildings are going to be toast. They got to go deep down. That's the first thing they do when they build these high-rises, is they drive down into the ground and put a firm foundation that keeps the building stable. But then as I'm looking up, I literally thought this yesterday, I was looking up at these, I was thinking, I wonder how many of these homes look the same on the inside. And I'm guessing there's a lot of differences. Everybody likes to customize, right? We put different finishing touches in. We put a foundation in, we start building up, and then we move into this house, and maybe we want to put different paint colors in, or we want to put different pictures on the wall, or different curtains. In the States, where we come from, we like to choose our flooring. I was actually noticing this flooring when I came in. And so we'll go down to the store, and they'll give us samples of different types of floors that we can put in. You know, do you like a light-colored wood, a dark-colored wood? Maybe you want tile as your flooring. And we customize all these finishing touches to make it more ours. But that's the last thing that happens. And maybe over time, if you've lived in a home long enough, you change the finishing touches. I'm going to put some new paint up. I get some new curtains. Or maybe somebody, you know, we have a kid, or things change. The finishing touches change all the time with the whim and with the wind. And let's face it, if there was an earthquake or a storm and those things got ruined, that's okay, because if the foundation's good, the building's going to still be there. The author of Hebrews is telling us that faith needs to be that foundation driven deep in the ground that doesn't change, that gives us stability in our life. But unfortunately, many of us treat our faith like the finishing touches we put in our house at the end. Oh yeah, you know, after I've got my job sorted, and my education sorted, and my family sorted, maybe I'll add some faith in there just to dress things up a little bit, to make my life look a little bit better. And it's the faith maybe is for show or for looks rather than for a foundation that guides our life, that drives the direction of our life, that guides our decision-making processes. So that's our question for today. Is faith your foundation, undergirding everything in your life, or is faith the finishing touches I just kind of sprinkle in at the end if it feels good and makes me look good? Is it our foundation or our finishing touches? Verse 1 continues on with saying that faith is the conviction of things not seen. It's the basis by which we judge those things that we can't see. Because I don't know about you, did anybody here see Jesus perform miracles? I did not. I wasn't there. I mean, the Bible says he walked on water. The Bible says he spoke the universe into being. I didn't see all that. But faith is what helps me understand those things. Faith is what helps me as I open up the Bible to understand what is true and what it's not. It's by the basis we judge what we can't see. When we were early married, we were headed out for a summer on the road, and we were going to be serving at a bunch of camps, different camps all around the western United States. And back then, we had this little two-door hatchback car, and we had to take supplies, and we were going to be gone all summer, and it'd be adequate, but probably wasn't going to be the best for what we needed. And the church we attended had just been given this old van. It actually had been a handicapped van, and I can't remember the story of why somebody gave it to the church. But Mel's like, we're supposed to take that van this summer. It'll have the space that we need. We'll be able to do what we need to do. We're going to take that van. I'm like, that's a great idea, babe. I think that's awesome. But as we talked to the church, the van needed new tires, and they were going to have to pay for the tires. And what about the insurance? And would the insurance cover us? And we were coming down to the deadline, and I'm packing the car because we got to leave. And I was like, I don't know why you're packing the car. We're supposed to take this van. And the next morning, we got the call. Hey, the church has given the approval. We're getting the tires on it today. The insurance is going to be set up this afternoon. You guys can take the van this afternoon. Melanie had this firm conviction of what she couldn't see. God wanted us to go in this direction. He wanted us to use this particular resource. And she was confident it was going to happen, even though she couldn't see it. And from a human perspective, it wasn't going to make sense to bring it all together. Faith is that assurance, that conviction of things not seen. The writer moves on in verse 2 and says, "For by it, by faith, the people of old received their commendation." So all these people listed in Hebrews chapter 11, and there's a lot of them if you look through the whole chapter. These people had a lot of great characteristics about their lives. But the only thing the writer of Hebrews is drawing attention to is their faith. That's what they were being commended for. Not their strength, not their wisdom. Matter of fact, Solomon's not in this list. Wisest guy to ever live. He's not in this list of people of great faith. The thing that is distinguishing all these people in Hebrews chapter 11, the thing that they're being commended for is that they undergirded their life. The foundation of their life was faith. Verse 3, the writer says, "By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible." Catch this. By faith we understand. The writer of Hebrews isn't saying they, all those people in the past, they understood that. The writer of Hebrews is including you and I in with all those people listed in Hebrews chapter 11. We, together, as a people of faith, as believers, we're listed with these people of Scripture. Faith isn't for the people in the past. Faith isn't just for Pastor Nate. Faith is for you and for me. That's the reality of it. And that faith was based on the Word of God. It's not whimsy. It's not, doesn't blow with the wind. It's based on the foundational point of God's Word. So, is faith your foundation or your finishing touch? Are you basing your life on what God's Word says? Even though you didn't see all the things that happened in God's Word. You didn't see God speak the universe into being, but you're going to believe that that's how we came into being. Not by random happenstance or chance or evolution. But God intentionally created this world. God intentionally, with purpose, created you and brought you into this world and brought you to this place and this time and this day. Billy Graham, famous evangelist, once said, faith is not anti-intellectual. Because people say that. You know, and if you're here studying and you're at HKUST, you know, that's a lot of intellectual stuff, and people are going to try and discount faith. They're going to discount Scripture. Faith isn't anti-intellectual. It is an act of man that reaches beyond the limits of the five senses. See, if you're here at school, you're here at university, they want you to focus on only on things that you can touch, feel, smell, hear. But faith reaches beyond that, because God encompasses more than just that. And I find it fascinating that if you look closely, any scientific or archaeological discovery has never disproved Scripture. It's only confirmed Scripture. Is faith our foundation, or is it the finishing touches? The author starts now to move in just for a minute into a couple of examples of faith. He talks about Abel and about Enoch. So Abel, second generation of human beings on the earth. Adam and Eve, the original created human beings, gave birth to Cain and Abel. Abel is commended here for his faith. Why? Because he listened to the word of God. God said, this is how you are to offer sacrifices. And he chose to do that. Cain chose to do it his own way. Got proud, got arrogant. God didn't accept his sacrifice. He got angry at his brother, who was accepted. Killed his brother. Abel died. But Abel still speaks. He speaks because of his faith based on God's word. Enoch. Enoch was one of two people listed in the Old Testament who didn't die. Enoch and Elijah. Enoch walked with God and then was no more, is what Scripture tells us. Abel and Enoch are commended because they heard God's word, they based their life on it, they drove their foundation deep into faith and walked with God. And now, even though they lived thousands of years ago, they still are a testimony to you and I. They heard God's word. That's the other important thing about faith that we're going to be talking about. How do I anchor my faith deep into a foundation? How do I know what I'm supposed to do? It's based on God's word. Are we understanding and listening to God's word? The emphasis of our faith. Verse 5, without faith, it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Not you might be able to please him, or it's difficult to please him. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith, again, is that foundation. That's where it all begins. It doesn't end with faith. It begins with faith. And without it, it's impossible to please God. And he discusses two things here. Go back. I was looking for verse 5 again. Next one. Verse 6. There we go. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe two things. One, that God exists. And two, that God cares. If you're going to draw near to God, your faith, the foundation of your faith, rests on these two things. There is a God. One true God. Not many gods, not different gods. There's one God. and He cares. He cares deeply about you. That's the foundation of our faith. The fact that we don't deserve a relationship with God, that the things that we do, the wrong things that we do, the Bible calls sin. And those things, they displease God, they bring shame to God, and they separate us from God. It started with Adam and Eve in the garden, who had one rule. They broke it, and because of that, they broke that rule. They were cast out of the garden. They were separated from God, and every person born since then has that same issue of being apart from God. We don't have a relationship with Him when we're born into this world. But God cares. And because He cares, He sent His Son Jesus down to this earth, perfect in every way, 100% God, 100% man, who lived a perfect life on this earth, who built relationships with people on this earth, who lived an example while He was on this earth, who ultimately gave His life dying on the cross when He didn't have to. At any point in time, He could have said, stop. He could have gotten off that cross. He didn't have to go through that pain. He prayed and asked His Father, please take this from me. But whatever You want, I'll do. And He shed His blood on that cross and 3 days later came back to life. Why? Because He loves you and He desires a relationship with you. And Scripture says anyone who believes in Jesus and asks Jesus to come into his life, He'll forgive their sin and He'll give them a new name. He'll make you His child. He'll have a relationship with you. And that's where our faith starts. And if you've never experienced that forgiveness, if you've never experienced that hope, that love of being God's child, I'd love to invite you to do that today. I'd love to talk to you, Pastor Nate, any of the worship team. You just find one of us and we'd love to share with you how you could become God's child today. Because that's where our faith begins. And the world, what the world fails to realize is that faith is only as good as its object. Faith is only as good as what we put our faith in. You all put your faith in a chair today. You're sitting on a chair. You're trusting that that chair is not going to give out. And the world tells us to put our faith in a variety of things, in education, in a job, in family, in power, in money, in prestige. People are pursuing these things. They're putting their faith and their hope in these things, which all are going to end up crumbling because that's not a very strong foundation. People put their foundation on those things and they add Jesus maybe at the end as their finishing touches. And the finishing touch doesn't matter if the whole building crumbles. You need to put your foundation, put your faith in Jesus. And then the author starts moving into some examples of faith. He gives us all that, the essence, and where we're going to put our faith. What does faith look like? And now let me show you what it looks like in the lives of people. And he starts with Noah. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. So play along with me for a minute. Put yourself in Noah's sandals. And God says, build an ark. Okay, let's pull out our sheet and make our pros and cons list about building an ark, right? We'll start with the cons. What is an ark? Noah doesn't even know what an ark is. Noah hasn't seen rain. There's not this massive amount of water where Noah lives. What are the neighbors going to say? I start building this big old thing out in the front yard. Where am I going to get these animals from? How am I going to get that, make that? What will my family think? He's got a long list of cons going on. Let's jump over to the pros for a minute. God said so. So what would you choose? The cons or the singular pro? Noah is commended for listening to God's voice and basing his decision not on the list of cons, not on everything that doesn't make sense from a human perspective, but basing it on God's word. True Bible faith is confident obedience to God's word in spite of circumstances and consequences. A theologian named Warren Wiersbe said that. Let me read it one more time. True Bible faith is confident obedience in God's word in spite of circumstances and consequences. God's word is what I'm going to listen to. So I told you a little earlier, Melanie and I have been married almost 34 years. So we started dating back when we were both attending Bible college. We were a little younger back then. And one of the things I did as we were dating is I made Mel a collage. I went and got all these magazines and cut out words and pictures out of these magazines to make a collage for her of things that were important to us that we were dreaming about for our future and for our wedding. We still have that collage. And one of the things that fascinates me is everything on here, all the different images and pictures, they all have faded over time. But look at the cutout of God's word. It is still white and vibrant 35 years later. I didn't plan this as a sermon illustration for 35 years ago. I'm just fascinated at how God has done that. That his word doesn't fade. Everything else does. Some of these things, some of these dreams we had, some of the things that we enjoyed, all that fades, but God's word does not. So what should I be basing my life on? What do I anchor my faith to? The object of my faith is God, and it's his word, and following obediently in what he's asking me to do, even though other people might not get it. Even though other people might ridicule it, even though other people don't understand it, and even counsel us against it, I'm going to hold true to the foundation of God's word and the foundation of my relationship with him. Noah was motivated by things he couldn't see, things that didn't make any earthly sense. And one writer named Philip Yancey said, faith means believing in advance what will only make sense in reverse. Believing in advance what's only going to make sense when I look backwards on it. I mean, Noah and his plan, that didn't make any sense looking forward. They'd never had rain. What are you talking about? But now looking backwards, it makes a lot of sense. And he saved not just himself through that. He saved his family and he saved mankind because he obeyed in faith. It was his foundation. Is faith your foundation, or is it just the finishing touches? One more example we're going to look at. There's lots we could. It's Abraham. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. He went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promises in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise, for he was looking forward to the city that has foundations whose designer and builder is God. Abraham, yeah, Lord, pack up everything you have, head out on a journey, I'll tell you when to stop. What? Hold on a second, Lord, I need to pull out my sheet of paper and make a pros and cons list about this. Cons, where are we going? I don't know. When will we stop? I don't know. Where are we going to live? I don't know. How will we know when we've arrived? I don't know. What will I do? I don't know. What will my family think? I'm crazy. What's the pro? God said to do it. And he did. And he saved his family. And he established a whole new people through which all the nations would be blessed, through which you've been blessed, because Abraham was obedient even though he couldn't see what it would be, even though he couldn't see the outcome, he placed his faith in it. The African impala is an amazing animal. It has the ability to jump to a height over 3 meters. It can cover a distance in its jump of 10 meters. Amazing creatures. And yet, they can be kept in an enclosure in a zoo with a 1 meter high wall. Because if they can't see where their feet are going to land, they won't jump. And as humans, we're often the same way. If we can't see where we're going to land, if we can't see what it's going to look like, we can't see how it's all going to work out, we're going to stay right here. Even though God's telling us to go. And here's the other part about it. Is if I stay right here, I'm losing the blessing of all that God has for me. Of all the riches and the goodness and all that he's doing for me. I got to listen and I got to go obey. Is your faith the foundation or the finishing touch? The rest of the chapter, which I'm going to encourage you to spend some time looking at this week. Maybe each morning you just want to grab one or two of those people and you want to read about them. Maybe go back into the Old Testament and look at their story a little bit, read a little bit more about them. But each one of these people, you will find the same elements of faith. God spoke to them through his word. Their inner selves were stirred in different ways. They obeyed God, and he bore witness about them. And the best way to walk in faith, the best way to grow in your faith, is to walk with faithful people. If you're not engaged in one of the Bible studies that's listed in the bulletin, you're not engaged with other people looking at God's word, I want to encourage you to do that. Because that's only going to grow your faith. And it's going to help you to hear God's word. So that your inner self can be stirred. So that you can obey God's word. And that he can bear witness about you. I'm going to touch on just one of the people in this long hall of faith. Hebrews 11:31 talks about Rahab. Rahab was a prostitute who lived in the city of Jericho, who did not trust or believe in God and did not follow in God's ways, was not part of the people of Israel. But the people of Israel were about to conquer Jericho, and she welcomed in the Israelite spies because she had heard about the people of Israel. She'd heard about the Israelites' God, and she wanted to know more. And she asked that they would protect her and her family, and she did. And as one writer put it this way, Rahab is certainly a rebuke to unsaved people who give excuses for not trusting Christ. I don't know much about the Bible is an excuse I often hear. Rahab knew very little spiritual truth, but she acted on what she did know. I'm too bad to be saved is another excuse. But Rahab was condemned heathen harlot. Another excuse is, what will my family think? Rahab's first concern was saving her family, not opposing them. She stands as one of the great women of faith in the Bible. I don't know enough about God. I'm too bad. What are other people going to think? I'm going to trust God. I'm going to seek God. And I want to save those people. Is faith your foundation or merely a finishing touch? As I wrap up, I have three questions for you to ponder, to think about. Actually, I'm going to make a fourth one that's not up there. Have you ever trusted Christ as your Savior? Have you put your initial faith in Him, in Him alone, rather than school or education or good works, and ask Him to come into your life? My first question. If you haven't, again, I'd love to talk with you. If you're sitting here and you do have a relationship with Jesus, These questions are for you. What are you doing to make sure that you are hearing God's word? Are you spending time in God's word? Are you listening to God's word? Are you in a Bible study? Are you in a small group? Are you in a place where you can make sure that you are getting into God's word? Because faith is based on that, on God's word. All these people of faith, they heard God's word and they acted on it. So if I'm not hearing God's word, it's going to be hard for me to grow my faith and hard for me to step forward in faith. What are you doing to make sure you're hearing God's word? Second, what are you basing your decision-making processes on? Is it that pros and cons list? Is it what other people are going to think about me? Is it what I think is going to help my future the most? Or is it on the foundation of God's word? What are you basing your decision-making processes on? And finally, what is God asking you to do in faith? Is it to share Christ with somebody else? Is it to go on a prayer walk? Is it to change degrees? Is it to go into ministry? I don't know what God might be asking you to do. What is He asking you to do? And then, are you willing to do it? My hope and prayer for you, brothers and sisters today, for the church here in Hong Kong, is that your faith would be driven deep and be the foundation of your life, your faith in God. That it wouldn't be an afterthought. It wouldn't be a finishing touch I throw up at the end after I've accumulated everything I thought I was supposed to do. I'm going to tack Jesus on. No, mate, Jesus needs to be the first, the foundation, and everything else gets based off of that. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you didn't put us on this earth to try and figure it out on our own, but that you gave us your word to show us how we're to live, to show us your great character, to show us how much you care about us. Thank you for these examples of people who've gone before us who live lives of faith. And God, may our faith be forward-looking like theirs was. May we realize that we are a part of the hall of faith. And may we drive our foundation deep into you and to your word. That faith would truly be that foundation that would keep us stable when things are tough, when the storms come and the earthquake come. Lord, that we would stand firm because our faith is grounded in you. And Lord, may you use this body of Christ, this church, these people, to be a light and a testimony of you across this campus and across this city. God, may each of them, as their faith in you goes deeper and goes stronger and they take steps of faith and trust and belief in you, may you use them not for their glory, not that people would look at this church or these people as anything special, but that people would see you. Your name would be lifted high. Your name would be magnified because, as we were saying earlier, it is all about you. In Jesus' name, amen.